Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome to another edition of the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. This is Eddie Cruz. I'm back this week. Got my buddies in the house. I got JJ. What's up, man? Two matches. You're awake. JJ's on his stomach.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've fallen asleep. I mean, watching this Orlando City team, they put me to sleep. So I had to wake up. Sorry. But I'm here.
JJ taking advantage of the Apple TV, free Apple TV, watching the replay. JJ, until we find our form, I recommend to watch us at 1.25 speed. Okay. That'll help out with the pace of play. Mike, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Also, JJ, sometimes you can ask Poppy about some real good coffee down in Colombia. Maybe he's got something to recommend for you that'll keep you caffeinated, keep you up.
Yeah, for sure. <I'm good.
laughs> Yeah. I mean, what's bad is if you guys go to the game and you see me, half of the time I am yawning. I really am yawning at the games.
I love looking at your corner because I can see you from where I'm at. I'm kind of just directly across at the higher level. And everybody's just standing there, and you're just like, your hands on the rail. So I always see you there for sure. Well, anyways, guys, before we get started, let's get the sponsors out of the way. We got Field Turf USA. You've seen the west side of the stadium there where the players stand and the benches are. That's the new border there from Field Turf USA. In my opinion, they should do the whole thing because out to touch areas look a little bit rough. So hopefully they do that. But nonetheless, Champions League tomorrow, a lot of those stadiums are from our mixes of Field Turf products with grass. They have a big imprint. They're a French company out there. But thank you, Field Turf USA, for sponsoring us all these years. You got Accurate Mortgage. Home market is just, look, anytime you're making big purchases, always seek help from professionals. AMG do a good job walking you through it. They helped me out for sure. I've had a lot of positive feedback from the customers. And in myself too, Compare Insurance, Liberty Mutual Company. Check your renewals. The home insurance market is getting insane. And there's enough pressure on consumers already. So if I could help, reach out to me. But with that, let's get going into the match. We had two matches this week. We went all the way to Monterrey. My Mac computer was the new iOS. It was the Mac Monterrey, is telling me. So that was ironic. So we went all the way down to El Volcán. We climbed up the altitude. Shout out to the supporters groups. What a great showing you guys had way out there in Mexico. The ILF, Ruckus, way to go, guys. You guys were heard. You guys were seen. So shout out to you guys real quick. Orlando City went out there. We've been rotating a lot, 5 matches in 15 days. We're in the middle of that. And they brought a stronger lineup, I thought. And, it turned out to be an interesting match for sure. So it ended up being a 0-0 match with Tigres. Anytime you go on the road and especially a place like that, a tough stadium with one of the biggest funded, well-funded teams with the better rosters in one of the biggest clubs in North America, one of the best rosters in Liga MX, and not allow a goal, that's a positive. So it's a lot of positive. Mike, what was your takeaway from the Tigres?
I mean, the big takeaway that you have to say is the fact that, we got out of there and we're giving ourselves a chance to advance. That's the most important thing. Obviously, going into Mexico is no easy feat, especially to being able to come out with the results. I'm trying to find the specific stat right now, so that way I can give you the exact number that I'm looking for. One of the most important things that you can do, obviously, is get a result. And that's exactly what we did. Getting a draw is great. We control our own destiny now. Obviously, we have to be wary of away goals still. So if we give up a goal to Tigres at home, it's going to be a problem. But it wasn't perfect. There was definite chances that they had. Pedro Gallese had to stand on his head a couple times. Nico Ibanez definitely should have had a goal, had a wide open net, completely whiffed it. So thank our lucky stars. Happy we got that done. But we're giving ourselves a chance. So I'm trying to stay positive about it. You said it yourself. Tigres is the, according to Transfer Market, the most valuable club based off of player values in North America. Like, by a pretty, and as far as CONCACAF Champions League, they beat the nearest team by almost 20 million. Like, they're that, they have that much invested in their squad. So it's a result to be proud of. It's a tough place to play, a tough environment. And I think the stat that I was looking for is that there has only been 6 times that an MLS team has gone into Mexico and held the home team scoreless. So that's something that we can hang our hat on. It's a good feeling. But, you know, got to get a result here at home. Wednesday is going to be a big game. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very excited. And hoping for the best.
Yeah. So well said, Mike, regards to that. Anytime you go down to, you know, when you're going to Mexico, Liga MX, you're going to think, you know, travel, altitude, but just quality overall. There's going to be a gap. So how is it going to be handled? And you tell me if I'm wrong, JJ. I think Orlando City, we're not playing beautiful soccer. Part of the context is we have a lot of games going on at this time. We have a lot of new players. The attack has some new pieces to it that need to get, you know, comfortable. But also, it's just a second. We just played 2 regular season matches. The advantages that the Liga MX teams have is that they are fully into their season. They're in form. If anything, they're, you know, they have a busy schedule as well, but they've been playing matches and matches. They've already been ready to go. So the fact that we came out with a draw, and I think our style of play with Oscar can be frustrating, but I think it's ideal for situations like this, going to a place like Edwokan and getting a point. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, Champions League, I'm not very, how can I say, I have a different thought of Orlando City with this game that they played against Tigres than the thought that I have with the last 3 games that they've played in league. For Champions League, yes, you're right. They've played. The Mexican League has played, you know, I think abundance of games compared to us who've only played 2 prior to that game in Monterrey. And for us to come into Monterrey and basically tie them, a Tigres team, and get a tie, that's huge. Any team that could go into Monterrey and get a tie is huge. So, if, especially a team from the MLS, because to the Mexicans, the MLS is a joke, you know. So, for us to go there and basically get a tie it's great. Now we come Wednesday, hopefully, you know. We come stronger, our attack comes better, and we get a goal, and then just play that Poppy special. I'll be fine with that Poppy special then, you know. But if we get, you know, start playing kind of what we played in the league, it's going to be hurting us, and we might, you know, lose. But I'm happy. I'm happy with the Champions League result, definitely, with the 0-0. I wish we could have gotten a goal, which would have been that away goal, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, Alex is joining us too. Alex Brown, what's up, buddy? Key West.
What's up, man?
Yeah, Alex. Oh, yeah. Alex got a baby, little baby dude, you know, a little. I don't know if he had
my,
that.
Well,
that.
My computer. Well, I was ready, and then my computer was dead, even though it was probably because I was using it all day, cutting up letters and stuff. But that's another story for another day.
Busy man. Well, I wanted to say this, Alex. You're one of the more positive people so far, just about Orlando City, and especially our chances against Tigres. So, how are you feeling after we managed to pull out a result at Monterrey like that, Edward Khan?
I'm not pumped about our chances to move on still in the tournament. Honestly, I said it on the podcast before. I think 0-0 was like the worst possible result for us. It didn't give us a butt whooping to move forward.
Real quick, where did I get that? I thought you were like.
I mean, I was excited, but when you were looking, I mean, I'm obviously excited for the draw on the road, right? You can't not be excited. But before with the game, you know, when you're talking about possible outcomes, you'd almost rather have, you know, get shellacked. So then you can move forward. But 0-0, we're gonna have to play our best again. We're gonna have to give it all that we got. Obviously, it's gonna be a sold out crowd. It'll be fun. But not getting away a goal, and especially considering they matter, is really, really crucial. given the fact that Tigres looks so potent in attack at the goal against us. You know, they obviously had a tough time against the bus parking, but you know, they also had a lot of very, very good quality chances, and it's hard to believe that they're not gonna number one, it's hard to believe that they're not gonna convert one of those while they're here, and number two, it's even harder to believe we're gonna score two goals in a game. So just doing this quick math, it's really gonna be still an uphill battle, but we've already, you know, climbed half the mountain, and for all we know, this is the time that the team will start to gel. And you know, the last time I felt this skeptical about a game, I would say was the U.S. Open Cup semifinal against the New York Red Bull, when we were there, one of the more bogey teams, were tough to beat them, and then we came out and crushed them 5-1. So who knows? You know, you never know what can happen. Obviously, I'm happy with the result, but you know, when on paper, when you're choosing what result can happen, that's definitely pretty low on the list, is the 0-0 draw, because you don't even get the away goal. You know, 1-1 would have been better than the 0-0, but we move forward from that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right about that. And we mentioned it last week in the podcast and didn't realize it, that away goals do matter. You know, so you score an away goal, it's almost like it's two. If you're tied, you're even with when the Tigres scores a goal and it's 1-1, we lose in that scenario. So we need to either, you know, we need to either get 0-0 and go to PKs and test our luck there, or just, you know, just got to beat them for real. So I this will be a great time for the offense to come alive. When the DPs, none of the three of the DPs have paid out, have been good this year, really, in any capacity or made any real impact. So this will be a fantastic time for that as well. Now, we also played DC United, talking about bogey teams, Wayne Rooney, that lump over there. And I got to admit that, you know, God, I hate that team. I hate Wayne Rooney, all everything, the commercial, the repeats of that dumb goal. Will Johnson, man, use your left foot. But anyways, the DC kind of, in my opinion, outplayed us quite a bit. Expected goals, they had about a one more expected goal. Pedro, once again, he's been in phenomenal form all year. Some people get paid and they you know, they get a check and they're good. No, Pedro is saying, you still underpaid me and I got a raise. You know, Pedro's been by far best player, the best goalie in the league. I mean, he just completely put on a show against Tigres and against DC as well. It ended up being 1-1. Dagger Dan, an assist to Duncan McGuire, opened his account for Orlando City for Kyle Smith cross. And then they got a goal from Chris Durkin, who just Orlando a little sloppy in the back. Chris Durkin had a worldie, man, left-footed bender, and Pedro almost got it, and then they tied. So league play, we rotated quite – how many players did we have different, Mike? About seven players, five players?
Six players different.
Six players different, changed formation. Yeah, six players different. Went to the back 3/5. Abdel Salim, welcome to MLS. You start against Christian Vasquez, Brenner, and Benteke. Benteke was a handful, should have scored. And Rodrigo Schlegel show continues. And we rotated some other people. Duncan got his first start, etc. So DC guys. So JJ, I'm gonna go to you because you said you feel better about us when it comes to our Champions League kind of results or performances or the way we play, but less so in league play. Well, what did you mean by that?
Well, snoozer. no, basically, I mean, come on. When are we going to stop with the excuses? We're playing the same type of soccer that we've been playing for the last 3 years. Listen, we have no attack. We need an attack. There's nothing. Okay, great. We got a point. We need goals. Goals to win games. These 0-0, 1-1, whatever. I don't care. Stop bringing the bus in. Score a goal. Continue scoring goals. Let's win 3-0, 4-0. This 1-0 and then parking the bus. And then guess what? They get a goal because Durkin, that was a nice shot. I got to give it to him. It was a great shot in a way. Gillespie could have saved that. It was just perfect where he put it. Guess what? Now we're tied 1-1. When you could have had, you're still your offense. But, I mean, it's just we're playing. Facundo looks lost out there. Martin Ojeda looks lost. All of our attack looks lost. When we have a counterattack, we decide to let's pull back and wait until, why not go and try to score a goal? We got guys running, and then here comes Facundo or somebody else, just stops. And now let me pass it back to Mauricio. All right, Mauricio, back to, I mean, if I could see what we're going to do, why can't these other MLS teams see what we're going to do? So let's score goals. We have an attacking force out there, and we look like crap. We really do. And well, stop with the damn excuses.
It, you know what was the most damning stats on this match? 41 clearances. Bro, 41 clearances. That is the definition of defending deep. 41 clearances. I mean, that's an incredible stat. But, you know, at the end, we got some more shots. We had some chances. Duncan did score. Mike, look, there's a logic to it. Rotation, I think we're kind of stuck. I get trying to gel the DPs and stuff like that. Well, at least two of them. We'll get to that later. I get trying to get a, you know, get them to gel. But you this early in the season, with the fitness isn't there, with them going to get their visas and all that, and the travel this league requires, it makes sense to rotate this much. So that part I get, but I don't. The thing I'm questioning is this approach just merely pragmatic? Let's get points while we're busy, and then we're gonna let loose, even though that's never happened, not even in MLS back, even though people seem to think that. Or is just the system with just lesser players, rotate it, and everybody knows how to be hard to beat and grind results. So is this just pragmatism, or is this just how we're going to be? Eventually, do you think there's a switch that he's going to turn on, I guess is what I'm asking. Because you could justify the rotations, but I'm saying, is the style of play part of the pragmatism, or is there more to it?
I want to hope that it's pragmatism. That's where I'm at. I want to hope that. But at the same time,
because I sent like, that was like four questions at once. So I appreciate
that. No, I got you. I was like, I don't know which part of this he wants me to answer, but I'm just going to go for it. I hope that it's pragmatism. But at the same time, the four of us and most of the people listening know that, you know, we're watching an Oscar Pereja coach team. There's a term called the Poppy Special that exists for a reason. And that's because of the fact that we attack until we no longer need to. And then we sit back and wait. The difference is we're in a situation right now where we're not really attacking. We're just kind of sitting back and waiting because of the fact that we haven't been able to field a consistent lineup through preseason, through the start of the season, and through Champions League. There's no cohesion in the attack at all, and there hasn't been an opportunity for there to be cohesion because we have all these congested fixtures that are really important right out the gate, and it sucks. And it's one of those things that I hope that it's just going to be this way for a little bit. And then we're going to be able to, once this Tigres tie is over, whether we advance or don't, we're going to be able to start working on that cohesion as a unit and start getting our crap together, for lack of a better term. So that way we can start seeing that this attacking firepower that we bought in actually works. Because otherwise, you know, there's just going to be problems. You know, we need to start finding ways to attack. There needs to be cohesion as a group. Obviously, like I said, you have to play the cards that you're dealt. We got the toughest draw in Champions League with Tigres. We got 5 games in 15 days, which is tough. And we're doing the best that we can. And, you know, it's not the greatest. But at the same time, look at the fixtures that we started the season with, you know. We started with at home against Red Bulls, at home against Cincinnati, and away against DC. Those three fixtures last year, we got 0 points out of. And we got five out of them to start. We got 5 out of them to start this year. Were the performances pretty? Hell no. Are we at least getting points out of them? Yes, which is something that shows that, you know, while it might not be pretty and why we might not have it figured out yet, it does show that Oscar does know what he's doing to a degree, in the sense that he's still getting us points out of situations where we might be outmatched or outmanned. I'm hoping we're not going to play that way for 34 games this season, because boy, is that going to be, this podcast is going to be sad a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's been sadder. I promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truth. I wasn't a part of the podcast in the summer of 2018, but I was existing in that point.
Yeah. That was just talk about like blacked out memories, you know. Alex, so the DC, you know, we all hate them. Forget, you know, the game. We all saw. We know what happened, right? But convince me that this is – how are we going to look better? Because in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong, this is not sustainable. We are getting results when we shouldn't. But this is the thing about fans and soccer, football, whatever, and our fans in particular. We've had such bad results for so long that we equate performance with results, right? The results, good. Performances, not so good. So at some point, yeah, right, you're a math guy. At some point, you got to return to the mean. Those performances do not equal the points we've gotten so far. Pedro standing on his head. I think every match someone's hit the post. You know, Pedro can't stay at this level the whole time, and we can't go with one shot on target, etc. I don't think we got a shot on target until like the 40th minute or something against DC or Tigres. You know, it just seemed, you know, it didn't seem like we were threatening at all. So what's wrong about, how am I wrong there? Am I wrong? Or what do you?
No, I mean, I think everybody's kind of freaking out. I mean, obviously we're playing against the most expensive team in North America in Champions League, and it's not anybody's fault that we drew them, but we drew them. So we have to deal with it. And part of dealing with that is obvious rotation, right? Everybody's talking about the DPs, and even Cara, we've been talking about him, but they haven't played together. What, 63 minutes together all season? That's nothing. That's peanuts. You know what I mean? So obviously they're not having time to gel. If you're asking me, Ojeda needs to, he's been better. I liked him when he played striker against Tigres. That was good, but he could have got us the away goal for sure. Gaston Gonzalez, a multi-million dollar player, didn't even put a shot on target. We had a great chance with him. Those are shots that you have to convert if you want to beat a team like Tigres in a home and home aggregate. And that's has me worried that we didn't. You got the keeper stuck out and you don't even put it on target. Gonzalez on his left foot doesn't even put it on target. That hurts. Oh, still hurts to even think about it. Now, as far as the league, I'm cool with the league with these games. And yes, the reversion to the mean, that is a chance to be worried, but this is nothing new from Pedro. We've seen this before. This is nothing new. It's, I mean, yeah, you say reversion to the mean. Well, maybe last year he was well below the average, and now this is a reversion to the mean, right? Because he's better. So, you know, obviously he won't stand out the way that he has been, but I don't think he will need to once Antonio Carlos comes back. Hopefully Jansen stays healthy. Rafael Santos looked amazing to me at left back. That was a really good point for me against DC. I was excited for him to see him out there while Kyle Smith operated inside. He looked like he had the dog in him, I would say, you know, and he could gel. He hasn't gelled at all either. You know, we have talent, we have depth. You know, I think all of us are worried because what we've seen in the past is no depth, and we've, you know, this time where we haven't gelled is going to screw us. But now it's like, it's 34 games long. If we can get a 1.7 points per game up in for the first 25, like we have, that's going to put us in prime position for the home stretch for the last 10. So I'm not worried with where we're at. They're great results against, like Mike said, teams that we got 0 points in the same results against last year. So once again, above the mean, you know, and honestly, I expected to lose the last two. So the fact that we didn't, I'm excited. I expected us for all offseason to go 100% all in on Tigres. Nothing's changed, right? So I expected us to lose the two games around it. I mean, nothing crazy, nothing outlandish. I thought we would bench everybody. I thought we'd bench Pedro this past weekend, and if we would have, we would have been absolutely smoked. So, you know, we didn't. Poppy got us a point. He deserves credit for bringing Pedro, because people were talking about letting him stay because he has been playing so well, but he deserves credit because that was a decision that got us a point. Pure, plain and simple. I know he gave up one goal, but it literally took a worldie. Otherwise, we would have won. We wouldn't even be talking about this. We would have 7 points. Everybody would be, you know, just hopefully everybody would be happy because that would have been a total steal of 3 points. But
for sure,
you know, I am worried about the match on Wednesday, but either way, I'm excited about the prospect of knowing more about what our season's going to bring, because we'll either know that we just beat the favorite to win the Champions League in the first round, and when you beat the favorite, you become the favorite, mm-hmm. or we're out and we can move forward with the other competitions, and you know, it would be what was expected of us. So no skin off. Hopefully anybody's back if we do go out on Wednesday.
Well, good. Well said. Now talking about moving forward and talking about 63 minutes with our DPs, we rotation with even if we continue with Champions League, my personal opinion is we have to start picking, you know, our best 11 here soon and try to get them to gel together. And look, the 63 minutes they've played so far, it's also in preseason, they barely played together as well. Faku was getting his green card. Kata was getting his green card. Kata had a situation where he lost family from Turkey. We know if he took some bereavement for that time as well, or just wasn't, his head wasn't in it. That's tough. That's horrible. So the time to gel hasn't really been there. But we've had a heavy rotation. Our def has improved. Dagger Dan has shown very capable, in my opinion. Salim has just been put out to the, you know, right to the fire, and has had some good moments. Obviously, you expect some growing pains there. Santos came in. Petrasso, our fullback, seemed like they're pretty solid so far this year. And then, you know, Wilder Cartagena's been one of our better players all season, in my opinion. So let's talk about the not just with the rotation overall, but let's talk about with Cara. That's two DMPs in a row against DC. Duncan McGuire started and went the whole 90, right? But I remember, right? Correct. And then against Tigres. Oh,
we were up a goal.
Yeah, we were up a goal. Yeah, against Tigres. Yeah.
And we made our subs. And then.
Then we against Tigres, Ramiro Enrique started. He got a horrible tackle from behind. He hyperextended his knee, made it through halftime. And then they replaced him. Instead of going with a striker, went with Martin Ojeda up top and Angulo, kind of like two strikers almost. So what do you make of the kind of situation? Last year we had a stretch where he was in a doghouse, and then we kind of looked better, and we brought him back and kind of struggled again. Is it we keep talking about it, keeps coming up, but what happens next, Mike? What do you think? What's the next step in the Kata saga, so to speak? I'm assuming we're going to rotate against Charlotte again, because we're going to go with a stronger squad against Tigres, which if Ramiro is healthy, to me, he's the starting nine. So I think if Kata plays, it's going to be Charlotte, and you'll see another DMP against Tigres.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, Alex and I both were pretty well spoken on the preseason pod that we had high expectations for Kara because he should eat. But obviously the attack's been disjointed so far to start the year. I also ended up being super high on Duncan McGuire during preseason. So good to see him get his first goal. But I think we're kind of in a situation right now where Poppy's got to go ahead and look at each game individually coming up. And yes, we need to figure out what our best 11 is, but there's going to be times where it's what's going to be the best striker for the situation. Right now, playing against Tigres, I think really what we need is we need a get behind striker who can go ahead and press and get you with pace. The car is not that guy, you know? So a guy like Ramiro Enrique, or using Ojeda and Angulo in that position like they were in the second half of the first leg, or even Duncan McGuire, who showed bits of being able to do that against DC United, those guys are going to be more suited against Tigres to get that kind of job done. Whereas Charlotte, a team that has been pretty lackluster this year, we'll probably preview that a little bit more, but they've been tough to watch. They've been bad defensively. A guy like Kara would probably do well in that situation because he's going to be feasting on unconfident center backs who have struggled against bigger bodies. So, you know, there's, you know, that might be the game that suits him, but I'm not going to read too much into the, you know, DNPs so far yet, just because of the fact that we have not found our best 11. We've barely fielded a best 11, if we even have one that's been decided. So because of that, I'm not going to read into it too much yet. We just got some stuff to figure out. I hope that we figure it out sooner rather than later, as far as the attack goes.
JJ, am I wrong here? Did you tell me? Because like, I know offense, JJ, but did this? I don't mean to be hyperbolic, and you know, if anyone's gonna be hyperbolic with me, it's gonna be you, right? That's the joke here, right? Yeah. So, am I wrong in that? If you really have a true DP number nine, he doesn't need to come out based on situations and matchups.
Correct. So, I was gonna say something. What do these names have in common? Alvarado.
Oh, yes.
The fodder.
Yeah.
Okay. Adrian Winter. Guys that basically were homesick. Here, Winter was a fan favorite, but ended up going back to Switzerland because his family wanted him back there. And his wife wanted him back there to play. And I think Carr is in the same situation. And then on top of it, what happened with his family in the Turkey, Syria earthquake and everything. Just put a little bit, you know, he's far away from home, everything. I just don't feel, I think he's homesick. I'm honest. Even
he's
if
he's never felt super connected with the team, right?
No. Never, you know, I sit at that tunnel and I see these players and I see, you know, the reaction, him coming off the field, him just, you know, everybody, all the players cheering, you know, giving high fives, you know, he just walks into the locker room, you know, strolling, you know, and then he has a bad game. You know, these people are, you know, they're some of them, you could hear them say stuff. I just feel, honestly, he's just homesick. And if he goes to another team with a different type of playing, he'll do good. I just like Alex said, and I'm taking it to, you know, the first game, Alex said, you know, come June or July, you know, buy out his contract. I think that would probably be the best thing to do. I just don't feel like he's connected with Orlando City.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Which I don't know if it's a controversy to say, but, you know, not everyone's going to be Hispanic or Brazilian that we have, right? We got to do better at bringing, like, having people feel comfortable in this team, no matter where they're from. You know, that's
– that, I mean, you look at Dagger Dan, you know.
Dagger Dan seems totally to be okay different. With Yeah, yes, fine. Yes, if it's in good, Kyle Smith, I don't know, you know, Kyle Smith's like Alex Brown at Liberty, you know, just fit in just fine, Liberty High School. Yeah, so I don't know what that says about us, but let's talk about, we'll talk about stock up, stock down, fellas. We got a new segment, stock up, stock down here, set of studs and duds. Okay, so who has so far, whose stock has gone up, whose stock is down, based on the recent matches? Alex, we'll start with you.
And I'll just say, I think Carl will start against Tigres on Wednesday, but
you think
that's,
so?
That's my call.
Bold. Okay, let me ask you this, though. How do we play? How do you think we approach the match if Takata starts? Because if we're going to counterattack, there's no point in having Takata there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think it's just going to be. I think we're going to be hoping for a penalty.
Yeah. Wow.
Shootout, straight after 90. I think they're going to park it that bad. 100% going to be playing for 0-0 draw, and at least for the first however long Carr can get through this, through maybe one half, maybe 70 minutes. But then we're not going to, you know, I don't think we try anything at all until unless it's given to us or until the very late stages of the matches or until we go down. But I guess we'll look towards that. As far as stock up and stock down, I would say for my stock down in this game,
or not to be the game, just overall on the roster. I mean,
with this game, I guess in response, I mean, Salim had a tough game in the back. He had a really really tough game, I would say, but he was playing a tough opponent. Second start, he's got Christian Benteke to go up against. It's not easy. So I don't really necessarily think that his stock has went down. I'm going to say Ojeda. Ojeda's stock's gone down for me. To me, he's been borderline hard to watch, and so has Facu, both of them. I don't know if that's because of the style or the system that they're being told to play. I don't know if that's because they're having a hard time to gel, but they've both been really really tough to watch. Facu too, because he had such a good year last year, I'm hoping, and we're all hoping that, you know, they just are going to take time to gel, stock up. Got to be Pedro. Come on. I don't care where he was before. 100%. The guy's maybe the best player in all of MLS right now. Doesn't matter what position. He has plainly kept us in every match that we've been in, no matter which competition it is. We could very easily be 0 points and absolutely wrecked on the road in Monterrey and just have the worst start to the season if we would not have re-signed him. So he has to be, to me, the most valuable player of the league, of all of MLS, in the first four
games. I think you could trace every single point we have back to Pedro this year. They're all because
even on of him. Even in Monterrey. Yep,
all of them, every point is all Pedro. Yeah. Yeah. One thing, Alex, real quick, I forgot to ask you this. What did you make of the Mike Romano? He reported that Oscar said some of the players are frustrated with the rotation. They don't like it. I think you can see in the body language some guys like Faku, guys like that who combine and need some rhythm. What was it, Mike? Faku hasn't. What are the stats on the passing? That Faku hasn't passed it to a number nine yet so far.
Yeah, he has not passed it to a number nine so far at all this season through four games.
He's had attempts. Passed, he just hasn't
completed. Yeah, has not passed at all. He's only passed the ball to Ojeda, I think, five times. And Ojeda's passed it five or eight times to him so far.
Yeah, we're talking about completions. There's attempts, but these are completions, yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they obviously there's a lack of cohesion there. But what do you make about the rotation? At some point, we got to pick our 11. Do you think that's, you know, anything like that can have any after effects to it?
It's mandatory. I don't even think there's a debate. Yeah. I hate even debating.
I think he has to rotate right now.
It's literally mandatory. I think if you're reading into the comment, if you want me to read into it, I'm reading into it that he's trying not to let Carr get too down. I think Carr is the one that's probably upset. Faku and Carr had a great connection last year. That's leading to Faku being upset. Everybody's upset because they're not playing together. I think it's clear. We kind of have a clear idea of what the number one team should be on paper, right? So everybody has this clear idea, but they just can't play together yet. And it's mandatory rotation. It is.
I agree.
You cannot
Oscar's right on this one. Oscar's
especially
right.
With the way that Oscar plays ball, especially with the way that he coaches. He can grind out these results. He is the perfect coach to play five different championships, five different competitions, to play up to, you know, 45-50 games. He's the perfect coach because his team is built to grind it, whether we like it or not.
Yeah,
we don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's pretty. It doesn't have to sit butts in the stands. But did we win a championship last year? Yes, we did. Did we outshine? Did we do what we outperformed what anybody thought we were going to do in Monterrey for months? Everybody thought we were going to go there and get smacked ever since the draw came out. Did we do better than anybody thought? Yes. Did I think we were going to lose to DC? Yes. Did I think we were going to lose to Cincinnati? Heck yes. The New York Red Bull in the opener, just the only reason I didn't think we were going to lose that was because we never lost an opener. But even still, it was maybe possible. So you got to me, I'm thinking Pedro, obviously. I'm thinking Poppy, because I know that it's ugly soccer, but he's got to believe that the people that are worth, we have two of the top seven most valuable players in the Champions League in our team. He's got to believe those guys are going to come around, right? He's got to believe the U22 guys like Gaston Gonzalez we're going to come around, right? Wilder, he's playing his butt off. Antonio Carlos is going to come back. I don't think Poppy's worried at all. I think the only people that are worried are the fans. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's just some, you know, fallback from the past. You're just like, yeah, at some point, you know, we spent all this money on offense. Are we going to see some goals? But, you know, what Poppy delivers is results. We're not going to suck under him ever.
No, we're not going to see goals.
We're never going to suck. He's like three yards in a cloud of dust. Play hard defense, and you can't lose if you don't score zero goals. You talked about the Tigres match, how you think God is going to play. We're just going to play for PKs almost. I think Oscar is a guy who thinks, did I try too hard to take the 3 points? Right? And he's upset instead of a coach who's like, did I not go for it enough? Like, you know, there's a difference. He's that guy. So, in my opinion,
he's all about preserving the result. Yes. You know, he's not about going after and attacking the result. So when we get a 1-0 lead, it's almost guaranteed that we're going to try and preserve it, you know, and mm-hmm. and he's going to make the defensive substitutions. And then, you know, we're not going to have the subs left to make an attacking change when they give up an 81st or 82nd minute goal. But that's part of the season is not allowing those goals. Right. And gelling as a team to work better, to stop those goals from happening, which we did fantastic.
And finish your chances. And with gelling comes
off the post worldy. I mean, expected goal on that shot. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty darn low. Let's be real. Yeah. So maybe one of the lowest ones Pedro's had to face all year. He saved probably a few in that game that were much higher expected goals.
Absolutely. Their expected goals was almost two, and that one wasn't very high. So absolutely. JJ, stock up and stock down. I got a stock up. I don't think any of you guys are going to say. We'll see. I know
I'm not going to say Pedro. I mean, everybody knows Pedro stocks.
No, but he's better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I'm going to say Cartagena, Wilder. Cartagena. Yeah, Cartagena. He's been kicking butt in that. He's just another feisty Cesar Araujo. To me, it's just, I mean, he just goes in there, does his work, doesn't care, and everything. My stock down, I'm going to give it to the three DPs, Cara, Facundo, and Ojeda. To me, they haven't shown anything yet. Hopefully it changes. And hopefully they can, but those three are my stock down, and Cartagena is my stock up.
Okay, I like it. Mike, your stock up, stock down.
Yeah, I got a couple here. First, I just want to say, with Alex talking about the poppy style, made me think of back in my younger days listening to this hardcore band called Reign Supreme. They had an anthem called Preserve and Overcome, and if that is one way to describe poppy style, that's 100% what it is preserve.
We got our intro music for today.
And you probably won't want to put it there. I know your taste, but it definitely is. It's good stuff. But my stock up first, just based off the Tigres game, I got to give my stock up to Mikey Halliday. He kept Luis Quiñones pretty much in his pocket the whole game.
That was mine. I thought defensively he was solid that match.
Yeah, he had a great defensive game. I'm really happy with him. I liked the way that he handled that, because Luis Quiñones is one of the better wingers in North America, one of the better wingers in Mexico. He was a Mexican all-star, Liga MX all-star for the game against MLS last year. Like, He's got some pomp to his name, and he, you know, 20-year-old Mikey Halliday handled that situation well. So definitely very happy with that. I'm going to give like a stock middle to Abdi Salim. He was great against Cincinnati, struggled against DC. So stock up first game, stock down second game. But, you know, it's nice. He's young. He's going to learn from that. And that's really the most important thing I think that we can kind of get out of that. And I really kind of echo how we're feeling so far about the performance of the DPs. We got to see a little bit better. So I agree that you're saying stock down there, but I want to go ahead and give one other stock up, and that's to DDT, Dagger Dan. You know, he seems like we might've found a real diamond in the rough with him, in the fact that I think he probably cost us like a $300,000 transfer fee, something minimal like that. Dude's got an engine, can run. He really carries the ball well at his feet. Want to see some of his vision open up a little bit, because I know JJ, you kind of talked earlier, we get on a counterattack and we kind of just turn around a little bit. Seems like he's guilty of that at times, but he's also driving the ball 70 yards and he doesn't have anybody with him. So like, there's questions there, but just his willingness to do that. I'm really like what I've seen out of him so far, and I want to see more. So,
and haven't even seen maybe the best part of his game yet, which is
free kicks.
And if we could draw a foul for once in our history in the attacking third, then maybe we would be able to see it. But
right.
He is supposedly very, very dangerous to that, and they love to highlight it in the practice and the training reports and things like that too. So
yeah, for sure. He's the Icelandic Ward Prowse, right? That guy. That guy is nasty, man. One more free kick, he ties David Beckham. You know, I should not let Mike go first because
I stole yours.
You stole mine. Mikey Halliday. Look, Mikey Halliday offensively, I think that, you know, some things are getting blown out, but I see the potential. What I'm more impressed with is his physicality and his defense. Last year, his defensive awareness was a little slow, but his physicality for his young age, he's not a small kid. You know, it's impressive. He's not taking people's crap. He's not taking crap from people. And he's getting physical. He's getting in the face. He's not afraid to throw a shoulder in. I've been impressed with that side of Mikey Halliday. So stock up for that. Wilder Cartagena has been, besides Pedro, this has been the year of the Peruvians. Yes, maybe I'm a little biased on that. But so far, the best two players have been the Peruvians, in my opinion. So stock up to both Wilder and you know what? Yeah, maybe Wilder should have had a red card against Cincy, but that Lucho Acosta, he deserved it. Whatever, man. I don't care. Good call by the refs. Pro has been great this year. Fantastic. Way to go, guys. Love you. And stock down, gotta be the DPs. I mean, I hate to jump on them, but mainly to Cara, just because he, and not the DMPs, but that's not good. Well, he had the DMPs. What am I saying? He added the DMPs. That's just, I don't know, man. Just get some fight. You get benched, like do something, you know, practice harder, get back on the game. I don't know. And Ojeda, buddy. Oh, Ojeda, more like Orivas. Like, get the ball down and stop shooting from 35 yards. How about that? You know, I believe in Ojeda's talent. You're seeing certain moments in there that look great, but he's forcing it too much a little bit. You know, once we get gel, get a little possession, I think we'll see better play from Facu and Ojeda. A little bit of a forcing the issue there, trying to really get on that score sheet, which I appreciate, but let's calm it down a touch and stock up DDT, man. Dagger, you know what? I like his personality. He's come into a squad with expensive players, with some names from better leagues. This got this guy playing from the Icelandic league out there, you know, like they got 2 months out of the year, their season. They got to pack all those games in that weather. I don't know if that's true or not, but but he came in here and asserted himself. That's what I'm talking about, you know, asserted himself. And he's like, I'm going to carry the ball. I'm going to tell you didn't pass it right. I'm going to tell you, you know, you didn't make the right run. He's vocal. He came into this team new and is out there and taking that leadership mantle, that presence on the pitch that Junior Urso brought that lost. That was something I wondered how we were going to replace. And I think DDT has done a good job of that. And also stock up to my boy. Cleon's not here, but big dunk in the house. You know, I thought there was some good times where he held the ball up really well. That goal, he the cross, you know, I think Kyle actually meant to hit it to Dagger Dan. And then Duncan was smart enough to get to near post, block it out, and get that goal. And I just, if you watch that play, watch that 30-second sequence when Jansen hits the ball from deep. Jansen hits it to Duncan. Duncan chests it down, hits it back to, I believe, Kyle Smith or someone there. And then he makes a run to try to get in behind. Kyle Smith to Angulo. He makes a run to get behind. They don't give it to him. Then he gets, stays on side and makes an, you know, ask for the ball again to get paid in. Angulo goes to Kyle instead. Then he gets himself in a good position. So I thought that was, you know, stock up right there for Duncan. So those are my guys.
Got a question for you guys. Yeah. With the FIFA window opening up in March for friendlies and World Cup qualification, European, whatever, all those. Pedro's probably going to be gone for Peru.
Yeah, Facu probably.
Facu for Uruguay. Cartagena, he might be going to Peru also.
Probably is, yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to lose a couple. And, I mean, if Dagger Dan's playing the way he is, he might go to Iceland. You know, I don't think, you know, who else do Iceland have? So, I mean, talking about rotation, heck, we're going to lose a couple of players probably for the FIFA window in March 25th, you know, that weekend.
Felipe season.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. We are. Mason's going to have to step up. And you know, I don't know how long our offense is going to get a chance to gel. This might be like May or June before they start going. But like as Alex said, we were getting results. And if we keep at this pace, we're going to be in a decent spot. And you know, the way American sports work with playoffs is who's hot at the right time, right? Every year, Alex is harping on that. Who's hot at the right time?
Exactly. And yes. last year, what happened? We got hot. We won, what, 5 in a row in all competitions? Mm-hmm. Like 2 months too early. And yes, it brought us a championship, a cup, but at the same time, we won 4 in the league. You know, you get that hot 2 months mm-hmm. later, you win MLS Cup. You know, mm-hmm. that's just the way it works. So everybody's complaining that we're not gelling right now. Well, you know, you gel too early. You know, it happens often. You see it a lot, especially in this league. So the travel's tough. It's tough. Rotation's not a bad thing. I promise. I promise it's not a bad thing. I promise everybody it's a good thing. I promise when you can bring a lineup like we had in DC, and it look as good as it did when you think about it. Think about last year rotating, what, how many people? 6 people?
Yeah.
Out of the lineup? Think about what we looked like. Think about the 6 people that we would rotate in. Think about it.
Yeah, last year we would have had, it would have been, you know, Tesho. It would have been Kyle Smith and Thomas Williams at center back or something, you know, like that. Or
because we were always injured at center back.
Yeah, we're always injured at center back. It would have been, you know, Jake Moraney. Left wing, you know, exactly. It would have been, yeah, it would have, man, what did I say?
It would have not been a result. So now we have guys like I was impressed with Santos out left. He was, the guy was getting stuck in numerous times in his boot, and the guy would just walk it off. I was like, this guy's gritting his teeth right now.
Yeah, this guy's like, physical, bro.
To me, I saw it that he saw maybe that spot's open for grabs. So he took the best chance for it. I was happy to see him. Kyle Smith played, you know, third center back.
Whatever. Yeah, Alex, left back is more open than right back. I think right back is Mikey's, period.
Oh, yeah, that's locked up.
That's locked down.
And anybody bingo card, Mikey Holiday not allowing a goal in the first 4 games. So
That's true. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've been most impressed with that aspect. But yeah, the left back spot is definitely open. So, guys, we got Digadez coming up. This is we're talking on Monday. The pod will be out tomorrow. We got Digadez coming up Wednesday. There's still some seats, especially in certain areas of the stadium. You know, if you guys got the money, time to dish it out.
You got the bougie seats, got the corner seats. There's still seats left on the wall, which is kind of a bummer.
Everybody could afford. Yeah, just say just one less wind down Wednesday. Head over to Winter Park. Head over to the stadium and catch the game. And we got Digadez coming home. There's people been spotting Digadez fans all over. Orlando has a good sized Mexican community around the stadium, actually, you know, in a lot of areas. It doesn't mean every Mexican likes Digadez. They like, everybody has their own team. So, but the touristy spot, there's been Digadez jerseys everywhere, people have been saying. So when we played Santos Laguna in the Leagues Cup, that was a heavy contingency of Santos fans. So what do you guys, Digadez preview? Who's feeling, I don't know why, but through this discussion, I feel like I'm feeling slightly optimistic. I think this is the day we surprise some people and our offense wakes up a little bit. I'm going to give my score out real quick before we get going. We're gonna get it done. 2-0, Orlando City.
Hey, give me that. Must be some strong, you know what, that you're smoking, stronger than what Swag smokes.
Yeah, I'll bring out the normal stuff here, and I'm glad you're optimistic, Eddie. 2-0.
I mean, like, this is, wouldn't that be such on brand for Oscar, right? You know, like, he coached in Mexico, and he did good the first half of the season, second half with Tijuana, not as much. But this would be just like a big victory for him. And obviously the boys play for him. I just feel like we're going to be up for it big time. And it'll be just on brand, like that Red Bulls, where like Poppy can't figure out Red Bulls. And we came out hard and or eventually we started off bad, actually. But eventually we pulled it off. But I don't know, feeling optimistic. Alex, what do you think?
I think Oscar Pereja is already one of the top 5 managers in MLS, maybe top 3 on the, depending on the day. Okay. He's shown a lot. And I think this may be the best team he's ever had. And they are very early in getting gelled. So I'm not worried at all. But you look at the guys that we have, and you look at the coach that we have, and you look at the staff that we have, and it's hard not to understand and see every single person buying in. And if they're not, they'll be gone. With that being said, I think it's going to be as painful as absolutely possible on Wednesday. So 1-0 lead, give up a goal, 80th minute or less, 1-1, and we lose. Away goal. And that's it. I just can't see the chances that we had and not taking them. They were so sweet and not converting it on the road. And Tigres not biting us in the butt for it. They are the most valuable team. They are the favorites for a reason. I hope and pray that they fumble the bag. Gignac won't be there, I know, but they are very talented elsewhere. So honestly, I think they looked a lot through him, and they might have been focusing on him too much. And Gignac did get him. He was really shaken up by Schlegel. Schlegel definitely got in his head.
Schlegel was born for CONCACAF, man.
Our team was born for Monterrey, Mexico, Tigres. They were born for that. You know what I'm saying? So now at home, we might get a little more comfortable, and that doesn't make me excited. So I think they were, you know, I just see it. It seems like it's going to be a difficult task to advance. It still seems like an uphill battle, and I just don't think we're going to get it done. But I don't think it's going to be embarrassing. I think we're going to have a lot to be proud of. I think our head will be held high, and I think that everybody that watches is going to be able to say Orlando City is here to stay, and they did really, really well with the competition that they had.
Well, speaking of not taking shots, Andre Pierre Gignac isn't here due to not taking a shot. So that's going to help us out and get a chance against them, Mike.
I heard the Embassy of Mexico is getting with Ron DeSantis. Trying to. I'm just saying.
Ron DeSantis is going to give him a piggyback ride across, you know, personal, just to make sure he's there.
Wait, he's going to.
I mean, he's not even governing.
Never mind. I'm not going to say what I wanted to say.
He's in Iowa now and, you know, doing what he has to do. He's not even. He said heck with Florida. So yeah. I don't know who our governor is.
Okay. Well, maybe it's going to get, you know, they're meeting in the middle somewhere. Mike, is Gignac not being there enough to quell that Tigres offense a little bit for us to, you know, a home with a stronger lineup, whatever that is so far? Is that enough to get it done? Are you feeling optimistic? Am I the only crazy guy?
I don't know that it's enough, but it definitely helps. They like to try and run their offense through Gignac. So I'm cautiously optimistic. So I'm going to give you two predictions. Prediction is what my heart says. And my heart says 1-0. We advance, we win. 85th minute or later, winner off of like a corner kick. Probably someone crazy like Schlegel, so we get a ridiculous celebration. That's what my heart says. What my head says is exactly what Swag said, is that it's going to be something that's going to be heartbreak. But I don't want to think about that. I'm looking very forward to the game. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be awesome. But I'm going to go with predictions in my heart. I'm wearing the Orlando City quarter zip right now. I'm all business, casual. So let's get this dub. Let's advance. And the prize for advancing is probably Pachuca on the other side.
There you go. Look, your business casual and your business attire. JJ's almost in his birthday attire. His birthday.
I was going to say, you have two layers on, which is two more layers than JJ has on. Yeah.
Depending on the line of work that you're in, that's still business attire.
Hey, that's true. Yeah. JJ. Oh, speaking of birthdays, happy birthday, Queen Kay. Kay Rollins. Man, look, you guys haven't met Kay. She's been on the podcast several times. We'll have her back on soon. She's as great as advertised, like better than that. She's fantastic. And Orlando wouldn't be here without her. So Queen K, long live thee forever. JJ, what birthday boy? Birthday
mira,
boy.
What do you got? Vato loco, que pasa vato loco.
He turned
arriba, Mexico. Los Tigres de Sebring, de Lake Placid, the Winter Garden, the Ocoee. Hey. Guess what? You're going to get your ass whipped by Orlando City. All right. Orlando City is going to come out and play. All right.
Insert, you had me in the first half gif right there. You know?
Listen, we are going to win. We, ILF, is coming with their flags. We are coming to win. Okay. And they're going to be crying back to Sebring, the Mexicans. They're going to be crying back to Winter Garden, to Ocoee, to Lake Placid, to wherever they live down on 27, guess what? We coming to play, and we're going to win. And we're going to win 2-0. Orlando City wins.
I hope.
There we go. Look at that.
I hope you're right, JJ. I hope all the Mexicans come out. I hope Tigres takes up a lot of that stadium, because you know what? That's just going to get more out of the boys. That's all it's going to do.
Just be careful. I was talking.
That's what I'm most worried about, us getting comfortable. That's what I'm most worried about. If they if those boys come out and they see 8,000-10,000 Tigres fans there,
at our house, they're going to be at our house, and they're loud. I mean, I was talking crap about we were playing Santos, you know, and how they flop and dirty. Then they scored in like a big one turnover and was like, what now? And I was like, hey, good goal, you know. So it's just, you know, let's have fun. Let's keep it together. Tigres fans were great. If you haven't been listening to the Dan After Dark podcast after every match, they've been great. JJ, Alex, I've been hosting them. Tigres fans came on. They were respectful. They were complimentary. They were surprised. They think MLS sucks. They were surprised about how well we did and how good Pedro is. So let's surprise them again with a dub, man. I'm excited. JJ and me, a couple guys, you know. Couple of guys are cutting it up with the 2-0.
What's his name? The Frenchman, Gignanic.
Yeah, you got like four syllables. Like cognac, but Gignac.
And he's the only one. He only plays, from what I understood, he only plays for these Champions League games. Does he even play Liga MX? Or does he just play him for like Champions League?
No, he played over the weekend against Club America in a 2-0 loss.
They rotated some for that. That's what they said, the Tigres fans. So,
They also have they're tied for second place right now. They have Rayados, which is a derby at the weekend, and Rayados is in first. So if they want to try and keep pace to finish in like the top three of Liga MX, that game is going to be vitally important to them. Dropping points against them is going to hurt them very bad as far as their standings towards the end of the season. So, because you got to remember, they do the divided season. They're on game 11 or 12 of 17 right now. So their season's almost done. So they might put some importance on that as well. And we might see some rotation too against us. I'm not certain, but, you know, it's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah, for sure. Now we got if you don't have tickets, get them, because still not sold out. Not even the wall. So man, we got to show out. We can't be like, we're a real soccer town. We got freaking Tigres in the house, and then people aren't showing up. No excuses.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Dillon straight up said that there's at least 1,000 tickets been sold to Tigres fans, and that might just be for a traveling contingent. Can probably assure you that there is more than that. So there's I think there's probably going to be at least 2,500 Tigres fans there.
Even Mexican fans that aren't Tigre fans, but are like probably Club America, Pachuca, whatever, they're probably coming to this game as Tigre fans, because you support your country, and I think they'll be there supporting Tigres. And like I said, man, up 27, Ocoee, Winter Garden, they're all coming.
Look, I hear you with the country thing, but if I'm in the Mexico and Atlanta United show up playing, you know, Tigres, I'm like, órale, Tigres, vamos.
Órale.
You know, I ain't supporting nothing from, you know, any other MLS team. So that's me. I don't care. But, okay, guys, we got go ahead. What was that?
I support my MLS team when they play in Mexico.
No, yeah, I would. No. I grew up in Texas, man. Me and the Mexicans, we go way back. I mean, that's my people. we got Charlotte, guys. Charlotte sucks this year. I'm gonna be on a Charlotte podcast on Thursday. Check a look out for that. Thanks for the invite. But Charlotte has not been good this year. Mike, you've been kind of paying more attention to them. I haven't quite looked. I'm gonna say this is the rotation, but this is the cara match. And if you think OC Twitter is a mess right now, the cara thing, wait till he scores a brace and everyone, you know, everybody's like, I told you so. Yeah, I knew it. Yeah. See, cara's great. You know? And so
you'll
be that person as if some zero sum game, as if
remember 20 goals. We're on pace now. Don't worry.
I was going to do the math. He's like, that's 2.5 goals per game. Times 38, you know, we're right on pace. And so I'm going to say another 2-0 win. My pops is coming to town on Thursday, first game in a while, so he'll be there. And last game he caught was the Columbus match where the DK with the DK file, that was the last match he was there at. So it's been a while since he's been in a match. So anyways, JJ, what do you think? Charlotte?
I just want Nuno Santos's jersey from Charlotte. So yeah,
this guy, country. What happened to your country, huh?
1-1 tie.
Yeah, okay. 1-1 tie. Damn, that's okay, Mike.
So far, Charlotte, 1-0 home loss to New England, 3-1 road loss to St. Louis, gave them a free goal. They've seen me getting a couple of those so far this year. And then 3-0 home loss to Atlanta. They're defensively, they're not looking good. They're getting thrashed a little bit. Hoping that this could be a game where we kind of find our footing and we start banging in goals as well. Got to take advantage of the fact that their defense has looked a little bit vulnerable. Honestly, if you saw the first goal that Caleb Wiley scored for Atlanta over the weekend, it was just in off of a interception, quick little counterattack, and he had a whole half the field open because they were not defending well. They're going to give you spaces that you can exploit. So that's something to take advantage of. I'm going to go with that being the game where we figure things out. It starts to look good. We're feeling good after beating Tigres. I'm going to go 4-1 over Charlotte.
Woof. So, Alex, do we you said it that we're going to suffer ball on Wednesday. It's going to happen. You know, Poppy loves a little suffering. Get out there. Feel good after some suffering with some points. Or do the suffer ball end against Charlotte? We open it up a little bit or?
Yeah, 5-1 Orlando City.
Love it. Who gets the five goals? I was gonna turn my two, you know what, to add to the drama. Cara two goals, Ramiro two goals. Who's the striker?
Nah, so. I would say Ojeda's gonna get at least two, maybe a hattie. But I think they'll be ready. Either way, they're gonna be mad they lost to Tigres, or they're gonna be vibing because they beat them. So I'd be nervous if I was Charlotte, but nice. You know, we usually have a hard time in these games. I hope we don't, because that would show me that this team is different. And I believe this team is different because of what we've seen. Like you said, 0 points, these three matches last year. So this team is obviously different, whether people can see it or not. That's on you guys. But to me, I could see the difference. I'm happy with the depth the most.
Yeah. That's obvious. Yeah.
That makes me super, super happy. So
yeah, you can't say this. You can't look at this squad and say overall we're not a better squad. It's impossible.
No, I think if you're any if other you think team that, you're in North America, if you're in MLS, if you're in Canada, if you're in Mexico, you're looking at Orlando City and you're going, that is maybe the hardest team to beat right now in all of MLS and all of North America. You could play any of the 24 guys we got. We're going to be tough to beat no matter who it is. We're going to have Schlegel back there. We'll have Schlegel and Salim. It don't matter. Heavens forbid we get Antonio Carlos and Jansen back and they start playing like how they are.
Soccer terrorism coming to you. Dude,
there's nobody's going to want to play us. And if we get the offense going, nobody's really going to want to play us.
I love it. We go long enough. Alex always takes us to the next level, but I totally buy in and believe it. It's not outlandish, you know? So I love it. My mind changes as we go. Well, guys, I think we've been here for a while, so pretty late, but shout outs. Anyone have any shout out in particular?
Yeah, I'll shout out the Tigres fans. Cause like you said, they've been awesome.
They were, man.
And I hope everybody treats them well.
Even the puppet guy at the end, right? The puppet.
Yeah. I don't know what that was, but I hope everybody treats them well. I hope that we show out well. And I know there'll be a bunch of them there. And I know it's going to be hostile because that's what we make it. We always try to make it hostile. And I just hope we're hostile in a good way. And it's fun for everybody. And no matter who wins and advances, I hope, you know, everybody goes home happy.
Mike, any shout outs?
Yeah, I'm going to pretty much just kind of echo that from Alex here. I think it was Arnaldo, who I spoke to from the Tigres pod before the first leg. Thank you for having us on. It was a good time getting to talk to you about, you know, the upcoming game. I know he's actually got a press pass, so he's going to be traveling for the game. So hopefully he, you know, enjoys the hospitality down here, enjoys the game, and we're going to give you guys hell. So, you know, just be ready for that too.
JJ, any shout outs, buddy?
Santos? No, none whatsoever. Just Miami Dolphins. We got Jalen Ramsey. We're about to probably get Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook. So, I mean, we're looking great. Go Dolphins.
Nice. Okay. I got a little
Dalvin Cook. I might have to be a Dolphins fan. That's
my yeah. That's Alex Brown's a Dalvin Coop superstar, man.
That's all I watch the NFL for is Dalvin. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a shout out to to the Traveling fans for going out to Monterey. I thought that was a cool thing. So way to go, guys. You make us all look good. You make us proud and put that respect on our Orlando's name. But with that said, fellas, Wednesday, everyone, if you aren't tuning in, then after dark, 10 minutes or so, right after every single game, we've had a ton of interaction, listeners from all over the place, people interacting from all over the place, teams, people from both teams coming on. You get a chance to have your voice heard. You get a chance to speak up. And tune in. JJ's going to be hosting with Alex. Then after dark, we put that on the pod feed too. So you get a chance to be on the pod feed and you get heard and participate. It's been a great time to hear from everybody. Check us out, YouTube, Instagram, Twitters, every podcast station. And Mike's got one last thing.
I will say with Den After Dark, away games were usually about 10 minutes after final whistle. Home games are probably about 30 minutes after final whistle because we got to get JJ out of the stadium first.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, yeah.
I hate parking lot.
JJ's just, looking all weird there in the parking lot by himself. So with that being said, see you guys Wednesday. Vamos, Orlando. Let's take it to the Steeders.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.